Ohtani got it. He got it. Number 40.
It's insanity.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, when you're on the road and fans are going nuts, that's how incredible it is.
Shohei Ohtani is doing something that we've never seen before.
Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Still to come, tennis icon Billie Jean King. Plus, from Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Hawley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. For our radio audience, what you may have missed at the end of hour number two is shocking. I don't know how to actually say it, but I'll bring everyone in the radio show up to speed. And certainly want to just get this out of the way way in advance of Billie Jean King gracing us with her presence here on this program in about 20 minutes time.
I'm glad she didn't hear any conversation.
I hope she hasn't. You know what I mean? So Del Tufo's out, and normally that means the level of our discourse is raised. Not so much as Jason Feller, who's sitting in for Del Tufo since Monday, asked me a question that I didn't see coming. It was kind of one of those Dwight Gooden midnight to 6 p.m. snapped off curveballs.
Uncle Charlie.
Actually, Lord Charles was what it was called for him. And Feller, you are in a fantasy league in which the penalty for losing straight up one member of the league. If you finish worse than that player, that other person, you have to get ink of the nickname of the person who's just beaten you, correct?
Correct.
River. So you lost to River last year, right?
Right.
And so his nickname is River because he used to live in a van down by one. Is that what you're saying?
And I live in a van down by the river.
Okay, very good. So, so you have on your right butt cheek the name of River.
I do.
Inked on it. Okay.
I mean, could have gone with Steve, but that's my dad's name, and that'd be really awkward.
I agree. So if that's really awkward, what is this right now?
Awkward.
Particularly awkward. you said that the stakes this year for the fantasy league is to keep the same tattoo bet.
Right.
But you want the tattoo that either you or River gets to be the Rich Eisen Show running man logo.
So he's a big fan of the show.
Oh, so he's a fan of the show.
It was his idea.
Oh, really?
It was his, yeah.
Here's the deal. Like, when are you next in here?
Maybe Monday.
Okay.
Maybe a few weeks.
Okay. So if you're here next week, we'll get River calling in to talk about it. Unless you think that that's an unfortunate mistake.
I might want to pre-tape that.
Okay, well, and so for whatever reason, yes, you have the full rights to use the Rich Eisen Show running man logo as the stakes.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure that my only suggestion to you is to win. I don't know if we have that drop of Adrian telling Rocky to fight and win. Just win, because you hear the bells, the dong.
That's Rocky IV.
Oh, is that what that is?
Well, Rocky IV, because remember, they're in the long hallway. She's at the top of the stairs, and you know, she tells him he can't win.
Right.
And then he gets in the car, and he has like the 14 different shifting.
Right.
Straight before that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just win.
Okay.
Well, you're wearing a Raider hat. Just win, baby. Okay?
Just win.
Let's do that.
Or lose, and we can film it, and that's great content for the show.
Yes.
Yeah, you can bring the tattoo artist here.
Jeff in Detroit's been waiting on forever, our buddy, our friend. It's been a long time. How you been, Jeff? Line two, Mr. Feller. You there, Jeff in Detroit?
I missed you,
How
man.
Are you, Jeff? You're
Listen,
on. How are you?
I loved you on Tokyo Gold.
Thank you.
I really and truly did.
I really enjoyed
it. I had a dollar for every time you said shuttlecock.
Well, actually, you'd have $77, actually.
Listen. Hey, while you were gone, I just got a quick question for you. Were the microphones replaced in the studio when you got back this week because TJ was spitting straight up hot fire. I tell you that much. My dog Chris Brockman refused to go to the moon. He said, "Just give him a heater and a boat. He's straight." And Mikey Del Tufo and his fashion sense sets the world on fire. Needless to say, the boys held it down while you were gone,
yeah,
man.
I was appreciative.
And that's the one thing I can say about the show is that it's great when you have a group of people that carries on the spirit.
I feel
but
the same way.
Nothing replaces Uncle Rich, and I'm so happy that you're back.
Thank
at
you.
The time that you're back.
Thank
you. Know
you.
What I mean?
Yes.
I kind of look at you like a verb. It's almost like you have to rich your eyes. To have a situation explained to you that you didn't understand before, and now you do, your name is kind of synonymous with the dissemination of information.
Thank you.
When I need somebody to explain something to me, with that being said.
Yes, sir.
What's going on with my coach here, man? I mean, he's a reporter's dream, but have you ever heard a person bring the word turd into a conversation when referring to players?
Well, look, I mean, I've seen coaches speak in plain talk and folksy talk and not have sort of the corporate business mentality. We've seen that before. And as you know, Rex Ryan's a perfect example of something like that. If you win,
I got one more question.
If you win, it's
too.
Great. If you don't win, it's terrible. So,
right. And who? What's that one team that you have up your sleeve? Usually, you have that one team that you got your eye on. You might not talk about too much, but in the end, you usually kind of go into your Nostradamus mode and pull something out your hat. What's that one team that nobody's talking about that you think could have an effect, you know, a positive effect on the NFL this year?
I'm not ready to go.
Not ready.
I'll give you because you asked. I'll tell you. I'm. And I might not eventually land on him, but I'm leaning towards the Carolina Panthers.
Ooh, Sam Darnold.
Mm. I'm leaning in their direction that nobody's talking about.
Hey, you know, it's like when he speaks, everybody listens. Everybody just leaned into the radio, like, what did you?
I know. Or they're like, has he lost his mind? I don't know. But next week is when I'm going to start landing on the. Obviously the next week and then the following week after that leads to Labor Day. So I've got two more weeks to kind of get in that direction. So we'll see how it goes.
All right, man. Just do
Thanks
me a favor.
Call,
leave your door open so I can come and lay on your couch every Monday. You know how I go, brother.
You got
it. You guys have a good one.
We got
Jeffrey,
our spot here always
Jeff.
For you. There you go. Our friend.
Cousin.
Jeff in Detroit.
Dissemination of information.
I'll take it. Hey, so... There is, I guess, an annual poll amongst scouts in the NBA to name who's the top 20 players in the NBA. Is that what it is, Chris? Or the top player in the NBA?
Yeah, kind of like the top player.
Who's the best player in the NBA?
The best player in the NBA, yeah.
And what was the poll results? And who conducts this poll? And who disseminates this poll?
So
does this happen every year?
So it's a panel of 10 NBA scouts.
Okay. And nameless?
And
we don't know who they are?
Nameless. We don't
okay.
know.
Who puts them together?
ESPN puts it together.
Okay.
And they vote on the best player in the league. Best player in the league heading into this season, according to them, is
Giannis. And then Joker.
And Kevin Durant.
Durant?
Oh, yeah.
LeBron James failed to get a single vote.
Out of 10 people?
Out of 10, yeah.
So who else got votes? Do we know?
We don't know. But LeBron,
but
you
it
know.
Was, so the only thing we know is that it went Giannis...
And Kevin Durant,
I think tied.
I don't know if it was 5-5 or 4-4 or what. But
so then it's just two people. So, okay. So LeBron James tweeted out.
So he responded to someone.
Talking about that.
Talking about it with hashtag all caps, super washed, and the trash can emoji. Then a follow-up an hour later, all caps.
Yeah.
Thank you, as if I need more gas pump emoji, meaning fuel, more to fuel me,
hashtag
washed
king.
King.
Okay.
Come on, dude. Like, this is why people get on him. Like, he makes it so difficult. Why did he need to do any of this?
Well,
no one thinks he's washed. It's year 18. Like... You're the first or second greatest player of all time in pretty much everyone's eyes. No one thinks you're washed, so they don't think you're the best heading into this season. So what?
Yeah.
So what?
I know, but you know,
you're now the first active billionaire in NBA history. Celebrate that.
Or use everything as the fire.
But you're
to
just
keep
getting
it going to year 19
you're just
and 20.
Laughed at. Like people are just laughing at you. Like you're because this is ridiculous. This whole washed king thing. It's ridiculous.
It's, he's done it for 2 years now. But it's been, you know, it's a go-to for goats. You know that. This is a go-to for goats. Your own guy who brought you six championships used that. Your
exactly.
own guy. Your own guy, Brady.
What? When?
Dude, go. What
oh,
you
everything Tom Brady does
going
is
off
a chip on his shoulder,
going
Chris.
Off to, like, going off to Super Bowls and speaking to all the Sullys and Fitzes who get together to send them to Logan Airport to fly aircraft to whatever Super Bowl city that they're going to again. Him saying, when people don't believe in us, we'll show them. And there's nobody out there in their right mind that would not believe in the Patriots and Tom Brady heading off to another Super Bowl after all this time.
Except and so, all the morning so shows were saying that Tom was ready to fall off a cliff and that it was over.
It's apples and oranges in terms of what's brought it on, because 10 people got together and do not consider him the best player in the NBA. And maybe he should take a page out of Brady's book after, you know, but in terms of knowing, like, when the top 100 of NFL Network's countdown is done, the 100 best players in the league is voted by whoever they got to sign.
Yeah, they're in the final four.
Whoever they got to fill out the paperwork, you know. And that so when we finally get to the top five, I don't think Brady's going to be in the top five.
You don't?
I don't. I don't think he's going to be in the top five. Top five players in the NFL. Like Mahomes will be there.
No.
Aaron Donald will be there. I mean,
it's after they won the Super Bowl. That's when they did all this.
I get it. I understand. But like top five players in the NFL, like you want to start your franchise with these people.
That's not the point of the list, though. That's not the point of the list.
I get it, but who the hell knows what the point of the list is? But it's entirely possible Tom Brady is not in the top five players in the NFL as voted by players in the NFL. Not there. And he might come back with, you know, hashtag washed. Goat, washed
he's
Brady,
definitely
or,
not
whatever, washed 12. Like, you know, I don't know. He might take notice of it and say something because he's using that as fire, and he's done it. I forget which. That's the point of this. I forget which Super Bowl it was. It could have been the one before they went off to play the Eagles, or the one before they played the Rams. Whichever one.
Everybody thinks we suck.
Yes.
It was the Rams one, and they did suck that year. They were terrible.
Nobody thought when they were going to
in
take
October,
on Jared Goff.
Nobody thought they were going to the Super Bowl
that's
that
correct.
October.
That's correct. But at
and
that
that's
point,
what he was talking about.
Dude, nobody thought as they were flying up, not a soul on planet Earth was saying he's not, we don't believe in him, we don't believe in the Patriots, they're going to get, they're washed or anything. Nobody, not a soul thought that, and they used it as a fire to light up the candle to head off to go play the Rams. And so I will say this, though. Brady in LeBron's shop, okay, in his barbershop, on his set, was talking about the disrespect he felt from another nameless team calling the quarterback that nameless team decided to stick with an MF-er, leading us all on some sort of wild media goose chase right now to try and identify who's the MF-er. And he's got seven in the case and is the undisputed greatest football player of all time, as setting the standard as high as it's ever going to be set for anybody forevermore, for my lifetime, my children's lifetime, my grandchildren's lifetime, and what it's set forevermore. And he's still sitting there grinding some form of an axe, which is similar to this, although it's a different, it's the same church, it's a different pew.
But when the top 100 list comes out and Brady's not number one, no one thinks he's going to be number one. Even Tom Brady doesn't think he's going to be number
one.
But
I said, what about he's not top five? You're like, really?
He might be five.
So what's it?
And then that's the point with LeBron.
Well, this one is
what's the point?
Here's the issue with LeBron, too, on this front. there's a difference between an NFL 100 by the peers, and people are wondering which peers are they. I demand to know the names of the peers. And also, when I decided after 20 years to go on my free agency tour, I should have had red carpets rolled out and everybody should have reconfigured their plans and rosters in the same way that the Buccaneers did and that the Chargers were all set to do.
And he proved them right, though.
He did prove them right. But after proving them right, he still went on television and talked about which team, unnamed, stuck with an unnamed MF-er. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to do that. But even that doesn't rise to the comparison of 10 unnamed scouts on ESPN.
Yeah, like, what does LeBron care about 10 scouts?
I know. Well, he's just, again, using it as whatever fire, whatever works, man.
It just makes him look silly.
Whatever works. Whatever works.
I mean,
and it made me look silly to you and everyone
else. But it better
work.
Paul Pierce said if he doesn't win a title this year, it affects his legacy.
What?
Have you seen these Paul Pierce quotes?
What is he? Is he still, you know, eating the gummies on Shabbat? Like, what is he? Like, what's he talking about?
It's possible.
Stop it. That's absurd.
I know.
That's absurd.
That's
way more absurd than what absurdity you're trying to, you know, paint here.
They're both equally as absurd.
No, they're not. Not at all. Yes. This is a goat who's actually using his Twitter feed to get himself fired up. He's pissed off.
Ten scouts.
So, and you think, and people are laughing at you while he opens up probably another bottle of Screaming Eagle on Taco Tuesday and counting his receipts to make him his $1 billion, which is why you're saying don't waste your time with this
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly.
I understand.
Let's not forget Michael Jordan ruined LeBradford Smith's life.
Over and something that might not have been real.
No, something that was not real. Yeah. It wasn't real. So, I mean, like,
whatever works.
I'm not that great as great as these guys. That's a different mentality. Brady, Jordan, LeBron, that's a different mindset. So whatever it takes to keep you at the height of your powers, then that's what you're going to do. And if for LeBron, it's for him to take slights and use them to fuel himself, then that's what he does. Like, we're from a different viewpoint. You don't like the stuff LeBron does. I am just kind of like, whatever makes you go out there and do what you need to do.
It's just whatever you need to do to motivate yourself to get to the level that you feel you need to get to, as long as you're not, you know, destroying somebody else or you're actually ruining society. I'm kind of all for it. Whatever you need to do to either continue on in year 19 of your NBA career or make sure that you don't get the Rich Eisen Show logo tattooed on your ass,
whatever
you've got to do.
I'm actually not rooting
and
for
I
you
just
to
compared,
lose.
I now just compared Jason Feller to LeBron James, which Del Tufo would appreciate.
Oh, yeah. I
right,
appreciate it.
Let's take a break because we have an actual goat in the wings waiting.
Yes.
Billie Jean King, Tennis Hall of Famer, all-time great, right next here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. You have two dogs.
Two dogs, yes.
Okay.
Billie Jean and Bob Costas.
Okay, now, let's walk us through here.
So I grew up with all rescue dogs. We were just talking about that. And coincidentally, they all had B names when we adopted them. And so when Andy and I got our first dog, we wanted to give her a B name. And so, of course, we are huge fans of Billie Jean, and Andy adores her, knows her personally. So we named our dog naturally after Billie Jean. Mm-hmm. When we got our second dog, we just loved Billy and Bob, the idea of two dogs being Billy and Bob.
Sure.
And so we tried to think of like a tennis Bob, you know, and we thought of an Olympics Bob, Bob Costas.
Well, you've never met Bob?
No, I have not.
Okay, is the actual real live Bob Costas on the line here on the Rich Eisen Show?
Yes, he is.
Are you there, Bob?
Yes, and I'm just calling to check on my namesake. Hello, Brooklyn, but really I'm more concerned with how my namesake is doing.
Hi, Bob Costas. We've never spoken before.
No, we haven't, and somehow you've managed, I'm sure, to house train and take care of Bob Costas, and the canine Bob Costas is thriving, I trust.
You know, he has his good days and his bad days. House trained is generous. You know, he occasionally leaves us a present on the couch. I hope you don't do the same. And he just got out of his cone last week. So, no, we are not doing a great job raising our Bob Costas. But he is a wonderful, lovely fellow. I'm sure much like yourself.
And, you know, much like myself, he has his good days and his bad days. And, you know, Rich,
yes.
Now that I'm no longer doing the Olympics, I'm not going to do the Super Bowl, this may be my single best ongoing claim to fame. Andy and Brooklyn have a pup named after me.
Well, were you aware of Bob, of the dog being named Bob Costas?
The first time I became aware was when Brooklyn was a guest on The Tonight Show when Jay Leno was still hosting. And she dropped this bit of info on a breathless public, and I happened to be watching.
Come on. I had no idea. That's so funny.
True story.
Are you offended or are you flattered? Because it can go both ways. I mean, English bulldogs are not attractive dogs.
It's okay. It may help my street cred in some small way. All the help I can get.
I think they are beautiful, beautiful dogs, if that makes you feel any better. Beautiful dogs.
They are. They are beautiful dogs. Mm-hmm. They don't seem like a perfect physical representation of me, but I'll take whatever you want to offer. It's all good.
And Bob Costas, I can only call you by your first and last name now. So if we meet in person, it will be, hello, Bob Costas. You must know that.
I'm ready for it. Thank you, Brooklyn Decker.
Well, I would say Bob Costas stay, but we're out of time, Bob.
Well, thank you, Rich Eisen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Thrilled to have this guest on, not only because she's an all-time great at competing, but also as a human being on the planet. 20 Wimbledon championships, 39 Grand Slam titles. A hero in my household growing up, and now an author of All In, an autobiography, which is available now wherever books are sold. Billie Jean King here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Billie Jean?
I'm excellent. How are you, Rich?
I am better for talking to you. So my first question here is, anytime I hear an all-time great receive an honor that I thought they'd already received, like, say, going in the Hall of Fame, like, wait, they're not in yet? Is this your first autobiography? Have you not done this before? Is this an update? Where did this come from?
The last book was, and I didn't really get involved with 80. I was not involved in that one. The last one I was involved with a little bit was Kim Chapin back in 1974.
Wow.
So I haven't really done a proper book since 74 when I was in my 20s, and I'm 78 this year. So this is it, man. It took over 4 years to do it. Got lots of help from a lot of people and had a full-time research person, had so many people involved trying to find out the facts, because as you know, truth is never the same in memory. So it was helpful with the researchers getting newspaper clippings or videotapes or things just to remind me of getting the dates right even. You know, it's amazing how your mind plays little tricks on it. So it was a labor of love. I wanted to get it right. I think it's a great research book for people that need to do research on me anyway. I mean, I still get a lot of requests from every age group, but particularly young people, actually, very young. We're talking like 10 to 15 to do interviews and to do reports. And this book will be very helpful to anybody who wants to do proper research.
So then what part of
I think that'll help. Because even in the book, there's an appendix with all my matches and scores and all kinds of facts in there. But I really do dig deep here and talk about very important and sometimes very painful subjects, my sexuality, my eating disorder, you know, my journey, just like everyone's journey. Everyone has difficulties. And I hope this book helps anybody who's challenged emotionally and just, you know, if you have an eating disorder, hopefully this will help. If you aren't sure of your sexuality, if you don't, as far as your gender identification or anything, I hope this will help people along the way in their journey.
So which part of your journey in having your memory refreshed based on the research and you going back, were you even surprised by just having that memory jogged, Billie Jean King?
Well, the one thing that came to mind is how busy I was as far as trying to play tennis and lead at the same time, own tournaments, being a business person. Quite frankly, I don't know how I did it. Looking back, God did give me extra energy, and I think that's the reason I was able to do it. And also, I really wanted things to change. I had such a will to want things to change, and I got very lucky because there was a few players around me, or I'm around them, to want to change things. The original nine in 1970 is a huge story. It's in here. You know, there was nine of us willing to give up our careers for the future generations. And there were three things that we really cared about, and that was that any girl born in the world, if she was good enough, would have a place to compete. Number two, that that she'd be appreciated for accomplishments, not only her looks. Like everything, and when we played, when I played against Bobby Riggs, for instance, when I was coming out, when they were in the Egyptian litter, they were bringing me out, 90 million people were watching. Howard Cosell only talked about my looks. He never talked once about my accomplishments. So that was the number two. And then number three was to be able to make a living playing tennis, because as amateurs before 1968, we made $14 a day. We never wanted that to happen again for women. And we'd been getting shut out a lot by the guys. I wanted us to be together. They did not want us, so that was a tough time. That was really a tough time. And then because of that moment where the original nine signed a $1 contract with Gladys Hellman, and she went out and got sponsorship, we got people to run tournaments for us. But every time a young person or a player today gets a check, a woman player, you can go right back to that moment when we did that, because that's the reason they're making so much money. So it's still relevant today, because history is relevant today and many times. And I think it's really important for young people to know a lot about history, because it does help them to shape the future. I know it helped me when I was young and trying to help shape the future.
Billie Jean King, All In, an autobiography where all books are sold, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. So now the conversation around somebody like Naomi Osaka is about mental health and mental awareness. She just had an interview, a press conference via Zoom, in which she stepped away because, as her agent described it, the line of questioning was disturbing. And so now that's the conversation that's being had right now. I'd love to give you the floor and what you think about the conversation surrounding Osaka. Obviously, what occurred with Simone Biles during the Olympics plays into that. I'd love to give you the floor, Billie Jean King, and tell us what you think about this subject matter.
I have total empathy for them. I want them to be okay. I want them to take care of themselves. I think we need to do a better job when they're young as to what it means to be a high profile or a professional athlete, like an Olympian or a pro tennis player. Because part of being a pro and part of why we make all this money is because we have spent time with the media. And the media are very important because they tell our story. Now, I realized in the old days that's all we had, and thank God the traditional media have stepped up for women's tennis, or we wouldn't have what we have today. But today with social media, we have both. But part of being a professional athlete, I think, is talking to the media. And the most important thing we can do is not take things personally. I can tell you what I used to think about when I did media conferences. Every time I'd walk in, basically it was all men, and then I'd ask them questions before we'd start. Sometimes what does feminist mean to you? We go around, we start laughing, we had a great time. But the important thing is I would look at each person that this guy or woman later is trying to make a living just like we are. And so I'm always big on trying to look at the other person and what they're dealing with. And we're kind of in this together because we help each other. So I kind of look at us as a team, even though sometimes they're going to be horrible to us and the way they ask questions. And I can tell you the other guys or other people who are doing media, when a guy asks the question inappropriately, they are not happy with them as one of their peers. So I don't know if people think about that, but I know that they get upset sometimes with their peers for saying, how could you ask such a stupid question? You know, we're trying to get answers here. We're not going to get any answers this way, which is kind of funny to watch. And then I just think part of being a great athlete and part of being the reason we get all this money is because we've had the media all these years. They've promoted us, and so people can know us. Because that's the way people like us. It's not we hit a good forehand or a backhand. It's that you like the player. You don't like the player. They're great this way. You don't like this part about them. But how does that happen? It's through exposure. It's through people talking about us. And so I think we've got to find a way. I'm not saying that the press conferences can't maybe be changed a little. I don't know. I think it's good to always keep improving things. But I think we also need to do a much better job when the athletes are young. That we have a proper rookie school and get them ready for what it really means to be a top athlete.
And part of that deal
mm-hmm. is you've got to talk to people. If you don't want to, fine, don't. But I don't think that helps the sport. I'm very big on talking to people because I know with us trying to change tennis, trying to change women's sports, if we hadn't had the media, we wouldn't have what we have today.
Well, and the issue with social media, Billie Jean King, is it is a two-way street that, yes, you can use it as a platform to get your story out, right? You can do that. And
sure,
the issue is the other way around. And the stuff that Osaka and or Biles must see in the palm of their hand immediately, responses to if they look at it, I would counsel them not to, because that might actually help, you know, or help's the wrong word. That might actually lead to the potential conflating of what somebody is saying by hitting send on the phone and saying that might be the same intention of a member of the traditional media asking a question. And I'm just wondering, like,
I just totally agree with you.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. When I was 15, my dad, because I was yanking around about the way they wrote about me in the paper in Long Beach, California, where I was born and raised, and I just lost the match, and why didn't they put me on the front page when I win? You know, I've won tournament. I'm going on and on. He says, just stop. You know, he said, when did this happen? I said, yesterday. He says, exactly, yesterday. He said, stop. He says, I don't want you to read any clippings. I don't want you to look at any media. I don't want you to look at anything anymore. That was the greatest, best thing he could have ever done for me. And that's basically what you're saying. Don't read it. Mm. Don't look at it. Because you're always going to get people who love to hear themselves talk. You're always going to get people who are negative. They thrive on social media. And that's where you got to ignore them. You just have to ignore them. I just don't think it's important. I just don't think you should be looking at yourself that much. I don't think, in the big scheme of life, seriously, we're athletes. But I do think we have a platform and a responsibility to help make this world a better place. So I feel for the athletes because I know some really suffer. So I think got to figure this out. But I agree with you. Do not look at the negative feedback from social media. Just ignore that. They're bullies, a lot of people.
No doubt.
They thrive on it. That's the downside. The good side is so you can get your word out. You have a platform. So, but there's always going to be the good and the bad part of that. So you've got to be selected.
I'm just wondering what the notifications at Billie Jean King would have looked like after you kicked Bobby Riggs' ass, Billie Jean. You know what?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
No.
Can you imagine how many people I'd have? It would have been great. I'd love to be a young athlete today. Are you kidding?
Really?
You have a platform. You make money. You can do good with that money. You can give it back. You can help underserved people. Oh, my gosh. I just think of the opportunities and the leadership opportunities they have because they have this platform. And just think of all the different ways athletes can help make the world a better place. And we can do that. That's our job, I think. That's part of being blessed, being a professional athlete or one of the top Olympic athletes. I mean, I watched the Olympics. It was so thrilling.
So in I guess, wrapping up our conversation, Billie Jean King, what's next? What do you think should be next for what you started when you from the point of view? Obviously, you've got your Billie Jean King initiative. But in terms of the cause for the female athlete, what do you think is next here in 2021?
Well, Alana and my partner are very involved. We really want to we want soccer to get more. We want women's hockey, ice hockey, to have a league eventually with the top players. They do have a league that's very good, but we need the top players. They're the ones that drive everything. We are so young. Women's sports is so late in the marketplace. We're in our infancy, so we have a long way to go. We also do an initiative. We're very big, you know, on DE&I and, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. We help companies do that. We could try to make money and give it back pretty quickly sometimes, like with the frontline workers, particularly women of color. I'm involved in investing in the First Women's Bank in Chicago. Fidelity and Bank of America are involved in that, too. So we're just going to start that. I'm very big on girls following the money, just like boys are taught. Make a lot of money and then give it out to people who need it or are underserved, and create opportunities and training. But as far as women's tennis and men's tennis, I would like to see us together more. I know the WTA and the ATP are working together, and then you have a third group who started with Djokovic. We've got to figure out how to get together. Tennis has immense opportunities. We don't have enough social media content, so we need to really punch that up. We can make a lot more money, have better revenue streams. Tennis, as far as women's tennis, we are definitely the leader in women's sports without any question. But I just want all women's sports to do well, because women's sports, you know, 94% of them in C-suites and businesses identify with being athletes. It helps us to negotiate. It helps us to be resilient. All the things it teaches boys, it teaches girls. So I really want girls and boys to be in sports. You don't have to be the best. But you learn about business. You learn how to navigate the world that we live in when you learn all these things through sports.
And also
relationships. You build up relationships, and relationships are everything.
Before I let you go, Billie Jean King, I got to just revisit one thing you said in the conversation about Howard Cosell during your match with Bobby Riggs was commenting only on your looks. Did you ever have an opportunity to address that subject with Howard afterwards?
No, I did. Well, I never saw it. I didn't see the.
Never.
I didn't actually see the match. No, I didn't watch the match until 25 or 30 years later Actually, I had to watch the match for the book and comment on the match. And I could not believe it when I started to watch. I thought, okay, great. Howard Cosell, the best announcer. He was like number one and big influencer. And he was tight with Ali. They helped each other become famous more than ever. And I used to be very envious of them in a way that I didn't have a broadcaster that was helping my profile, you know, increase. I thought, God, we're just always on the outside looking in. But no, I didn't. When I saw it, I could not believe it. that Howard went on and on about my look. Oh, take your glasses off, do this. She could be in Hollywood and da-da. I'm like waiting for the, and she won this or that, or she was in the Hall of Fame. And then when Bobby came out right after me, and all they talked about was his accomplishments. And it was so, I just could not believe that's what was said in 1973 with the match. And of course, it was just after Title IX was passed in 72. So I was like, that just shows you how the times were. It's indicative of the culture at the time.
Wow. And that was one of your observations, having never seen it, watched it back just for your
I couldn't
book.
Believe it. I was in shock. Wow. I didn't think he would do that. I thought he'd at least say, well, she won a Wimbledon or two, or she won the U.S. Open, or
well,
something. I like Howard. I got along well with him.
Well, look, Billie Jean King, I'm no Howard Cosell, but you always have a place here with anything that I do. I don't know if I'm kind of going to get a little emotional telling you this because my mother reveres you to this day. She's 83. She doesn't like me saying her age, but you mentioned yours. But she reveres you and revered you. And growing up, as I did, you know, hearing your name, she loves telling the story about me as a kid having a friend down the street named Karen, and she and I would play. And we would fight about who got to be you instead of Bobby Riggs. And
oh, that's so adorable.
That's a fact. That's how I grew up. So you always have a place.
Oh, wow.
It's how you always have a place here, Billie Jean King, whenever you want with whatever you're doing. Please
call
back.
Well, I appreciate that, Rich. And say hi to your mom. What's her name?
Eveline Eisen. That's her name.
Eveline, say hi to her.
I will.
Tell her, keep going for it.
She sure is still is. Billie Jean King, congrats on the book. Can't wait for everybody to get it, and let's keep talking down the line.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rich. I really appreciate it.
You bet. All In, an autobiography, right. The author, Billie Jean King. You can follow her at Billie Jean King on Twitter and Instagram right here on The Rich Eisen Show. I can't believe I got an opportunity to tell that story to Billie Jean King.
And a shout out for your mom.
Yeah. And Karen down the street.
Love it. Karen.
Karen Kirschenbaum down the street. Got a fight.
Like a verbal spar, I'm
yeah
hoping?
Early on I learned about fighting with Karens.
That's funny.
And you know, I we're so shocked about that she hadn't seen the match with Bobby Riggs. Like,
yeah,
there's no DVRs back in 1972.
Well, right.
It's not like, all right, I'll set the VCR, you know, and then go home and watch it.
Yeah, I mean, if it's on record, it's on those reels that are like this big. And
right.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's crazy, though.
Take a break. Michael Holly will help us take us to his show and all of us to the weekend. That's coming up next from Brother from Another right here on Peacock on The Rich Eisen Show.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I remember doing the red carpet for The Irishman. Pacino walks by, and I'm like, hey, Al, hey, what's up? Can I get you for a second? And, you know, as I go to introduce myself, I say, hey, listen, I'm Nate Burles, a huge fan. And he cuts me off and says, yeah, I know who you are. you're the football guy. I watch you. You do the morning show. I'm like, I'm blown away right now. He's like, you're doing good work. Yeah, I see you. That meant a lot to me. It was somebody that was so far removed from the traditional sports space, and he was just saying, I've seen you.
One of our other favorites is Travis Kelce,
who
was all over the Twitterverse merely for shaving his beard. The reaction was so harsh.
Not great.
That he felt the need to draw on his face this big black beard with what looks like a Sharpie or whatever and put that as his new profile pic. Do we put it a gate? Do we call it a gate?
That's
a gate. Beard gate?
Beard gate. I mean, beard gate.
Stash gate? Beard Razor gate? Ah, yes, well done.
Look at that beard. Come on.
Good beard, it's great. And then just scratched in the rest of us. There he is. Yeah. Thanks for holding it down, fellas. Looking good. You originally turned down Beetlejuice and then ad-libbed 90% of the dialogue in the film. Is that true or false?
90 might be high, but yes, that's true. I couldn't understand what Tim was trying to describe. You know, let's say you never saw it. And you had this idea. You be the guy saying, okay, here's what I'm trying to make. I had the studio send me over a rack of clothing. I said, just go into the lot, grab me this. And then I was alone in my house acting. Can you imagine that? How's that picture, by the way? Me walking around like that by myself at my house. And then I had this idea for mold on my face. And I just said, all right, we never rehearsed it. I just showed up and started doing that. I thought, this is either going to work or not work.
Buddy, let me tell you.
Yes.
You're very lucky you didn't get me 5 minutes ago when I was looking for a parking space. But I found one.
Maybe like a guy from the neighborhood maybe was trying to save the spot, but I was like...
Oh, that's no... No. We cannot
get
have that.
Here. Move!
We cannot have that.
I had a Mets hat on. I had me all riled up. The guy was like, bro, you ain't going to fit in here anyway. And then that's all I needed to hear. I'm not going to fit in there. I was like, have you seen me? You know this car. You've seen this car, right? I mean, I could pull into anything.
Bro.
You all right?
I'm not getting out. I'm gonna give him the finger in a second.
Is it the same guy?
Nine perfect strangers.
I'm not getting out.
Oh, what a fun week we've had, huh? Fantastic. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we just showed our best of the week to our Peacock-only audience, all of you folks who want to see all that stuff. It was such a fun week. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show with Michael Keaton going down memory lane about Mr. Mom and Beetlejuice, and Bobby Cannavale had just gotten into a parking space in Brooklyn that his car definitely shouldn't have fit into, but he did.
Definitely shouldn't.
7-minute segment on parallel parking. I'm so proud of that. So proud of that. Back here in the chair all week. It's been fun.
Emmy reel?
I don't know. We still have many more months to go, brother.
We do.
Many more months to go.
Why not?
That's, ladies and gentlemen, one of the many Bobby Cannavale drops that we have. Brother from Another follows this show every single day on NBC Sports on Peacock with Michael Smith and our next guest to help us take us to his show, Michael Holly. How are you, sir?
Oh, Rich, I'm doing great. Missed you, man. It's been a long time. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Better for talking to you. I'm good. Life is good. What's on your show that's coming up shortly?
Life is good. What's on our show?
Yes.
You know, just our typical, you know, around the world, around the culture kind of show. And talk about the NBA, LeBron James being shut out of the best player in the NBA poll by general managers and executives. He's upset about that. And James Harden saying that if the Nets are healthy, nobody can beat them. Nobody can play with them.
Hard to argue with that one. Hard to argue with that one.
Huh?
No, you're talking about Jeopardy. Okay. It's hard to argue with Harden saying if he, Durant, and Kyrie are all healthy with the rest of the team around them that they'd be impossible to beat. It's hard to argue. It really is hard to argue with that, Mike.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I mean, Durant put Team USA on his back quite a bit. So, I mean, I think we're good there. Harden comes back healthy and honey buns for everybody, you know, and Kyrie. The LeBron stuff we talked about earlier, because it was, did we get the number right, Chris? It was just 10 unnamed scouts?
I saw just 10, yeah. 10 scouts and GMs.
GMs. I mean, really, you know, so he's left off that list. Who cares?
Well, wait a minute. Who cares?
Yeah.
He does.
Obviously.
But Michael, why? Why should
he care?
Why should he care? Because you know this. You guys know this. They're not like, I'm going to remix that old quote from F. Scott Fitzgerald, that the rich are not like you and me, right? Okay, so professional athletes, are not like you and me. They are just, they take anything, real or imagined, and if that is a nugget for motivation, for feeling like you've been disrespected, nobody cares about you, nobody sees what you're doing, you take it. So that's what LeBron James is doing. Hey, I'm an underdog. He's never been an underdog his entire professional life, but he'll turn this into an underdog moment because that's what he needs.
Well, he's not an underdog because he's, you know, first of all, underdog, I don't believe is a Warner Brothers character that would be allowed in Space Jam. But, you know, but he's not an underdog because he's one of the all-time greats that's established. And he also, people want to play with him. So he's going to get Anthony Davis coming in. He's going to get Russell Westbrook coming in. That automatically makes him less of an underdog. You know, Brady decides to look around and say, I've had enough of it here. I'm going to go to a spot where I'm not worried about my weaponry and I'm not worried about whether a roster is going to be built around me. That's where I'm going to go. So the deck's kind of stacked. And, I'm with you on the whole idea of whatever you can do to motivate yourself. I just think out of everything that you just mentioned, I agree with Harden, and I'm, you know, and I understand where LeBron's coming from, but I think it's a waste of his time and energy.
Can I say this about Harden's statement? This is why, yeah, I mean, I guess technically you could say, yeah, there's no argument there. But when you've got Kyrie Irving, who has not played a complete season in a long time, if you look at his history, and you got Kevin Durant, who is brilliant as he is, got a birthday next month. I think he's going to be 32 or 33, maybe 33 next month, coming off a major injury a couple of years ago. And Harden, who was injured last year, yeah, you could say if we're healthy, but the chances of you being healthy are not that high. So I know I've got a little bit of a Brooklyn anti-Nets bias. I need to do some investigation of like why it's just so strong in me. I don't know. I need some therapy over this one. But I just get sick of that logic. Well, you know, if we had done this, if Kevin Durant's foot hadn't been on the line.
That is true. That is very, very true. If he was an inch behind that line. That's very true.
Take this to your brother-in-law, okay?
Okay.
If David Tyree hadn't made a catch on Super Bowl 42, the Patriots would have been undefeated. But guess what? It didn't happen.
It was Rodney Harrison's fault, Michael. I mean, you know that.
Yeah, Rodney Harrison. No, you know whose fault it was, really? Asante Samuel, who was covering.
He dropped a pick six the play before.
Well, but also, he did drop that, but he was in the wrong coverage. So he did a little freestyle. So Rodney wound up covering Tyree. That was supposed to be.
I love this. Two people who are saying LeBron's talk is a waste of energy is bringing up a Super Bowl loss from like 19 million years ago right now. I like it.
Sam, I like it.
The whole point of the if, that we could play if all day. You probably say, Rich, you know, I could have been Jamie Foxx. I could have been The Rock. I could have been, I'm famous now, but I could have been. Globally, I could have been a global mogul if things had turned differently at the University of Michigan. Who knows? We could all do that, can't we?
We could. Have a great time with Michael Smith and a good weekend. Let's do this again very soon. Appreciate you being back. I appreciate being here on Peacock with you. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you so much. Enjoy your weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Holly. I want to thank Billie Jean King. I want to thank Albert Breer and also Tom Curran.
Tommy
Curran. Great week as well. We had Nate Burleson. We had Michael Keaton. What a dynamite conversation that was. Hitting on all something. You know, we didn't even touch on half of his early career filmography.
Just got to give him a call back in.
We will do that. We will do that. We hope he accepts it.
It's Friday. Let's go.
Let's go. LFG, right? Let's
CM Punk tonight, guys. Let's the go. Return.
Is that confirmed or is that rumor?
I mean, that's the rumor. So, you know, I you guys might not know. I've worn a CM Punk t-shirt every day this week.
We've
so
noticed.
Let's go. Let's
You've
go.
Not noticed. You've not noticed. So you may or may not be here Monday is what you're saying.
Right. Waiting for Del Tufo to confirm.
Del Tufo has a situation Monday that he might be here or he might not.
I mean, he's walking around Vegas maskless with all sorts of stuff. That's, you know,
yeah.
Again, we'll just check it out on his. We'll check it out on his OnlyFans page
for the next few months.
I'm not subscribing to that.
Brother from another coming up next. We'll take you to it. The rest of the audience, we will chat with you Monday.
Ramble on.